Thinking that fast.
Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Now, I brought my hat here so you recognize who I am. Now, everybody in Hypercalientes, they know how to look. I mean, Bill and I, we've been preaching there for a year now. And it comes out of the front page and the different papers. They know our religion because that's where that tall gringo preaches with a hat. And he's got that older man with him that clear brown older man that follows him around and preaches with him. And of course, we got Brother Jim Unsicker who thinks that, you know, he's never seen me preach without a hat, so I didn't want to offend him. I had to bring my hat just to let him know. He invited me over to preach at his church, and he said, I hope you can preach without a hat on. I said, I don't know. We bring you this song tonight. It's been a real special song.
You got plenty of time, bro.
I got plenty of time?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Am I on? You want to get on the piano? We're going to sing So Send I You. I mean, I thought there was two specials every night. I don't know what happened, so I'll just go fill in. Look in Acts chapter 14 and verse 8, and I'd like to read verse 8 through 17. It says, "And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Laconia, The God had come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice for the people, which when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran among the people, crying out and saying, Sir, why do you these things? We also have men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he hath left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they, the people, that they had done sacrifice unto them." Now tonight, I don't know if I'm going to preach or just talk. Brother Joe talked about the gospel shoes last night, and that just sort of gets me stirred up.
Amen.
I have my gospel shoes on. I mean, I want everybody to see them there. Got that? Where's that camera? I want to get that on there. See, them are the gospel shoes. My wife says she's going to disown me. She said, if you wear them things tonight, I don't know you. But I figured Brother Joe West can take his shoes off and show everyone in the world his holy socks. I guess I can bring my gospel shoes. Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Right.
And brother, that's what we are. I brought my fishing hat and my fishing shoes. My wife says, your shoes are out of style, we gotta throw them things away. But I can't do that, I gotta keep these on because they're gospel shoes. I know they're out of style, but that's what they say in the gospel too. It's out of style, we don't wanna be hearing that. I wear these gospel shoes, walk back and forth out here at Kelly Air Force Base, guarding the security service complex with an M16 on my shoulder. I wear these shoes dealing with a young man named Jim McAllister. I remember 2 years walking up and down that same post, back and forth, dealing with that man. 2 years I thought, man, this man, this ain't never going to get saved. One day he got saved.
Amen.
Huh? It's worth it. These shoes bring back some memories. They're too old. That's an old message you preach. That's right. It's an old message from an old book, from an old God. You think some of you old, God's been along a long time. Or it's a way to put them up for combat boots.
Amen.
I think the Bible says somewhere that we're in a warfare.
Amen.
Just sort of reminds me that we're in a warfare.
Amen.
They're not dress shoes either. That's why my wife don't like. They're not dress shoes. They're not the fashion. Well, brethren, we're not in fashion in Mexico either. I mean, sometimes we stick out even among the other missionaries. So, brother, you guys just don't fit in. They will tell us this, that's just not how you're supposed to do it. They don't like our tracks. They don't like the way we preach. They don't like anything we do, except for our results. You can't, they tell us when we first start, you can't do it that way. Like my wife said, you cannot wear their boots. Well, I'm still the head of the household. At least until this message is over with. And these boots might burn tonight with me in them. I don't know. But you know, by the grace of God, we've seen God use us. Amen. Now, that wasn't the message. That was all free. Because the message is right here. Paul comes into a town and he shows them a difference. All right? These people had never seen anything like this before. They thought that God had come down before them, amidst them. Let me tell you something. We take this book, God's book, and we preach it. People are going to know, hey, this is different.
That's right.
And they're going to say, it's never been told me before. I think I heard that song before, the half of you, never yet been told. Nobody has, you know, I've heard a little bit about this, but the half has never been told.
Amen.
When Paul goes to this town and does this work, these people said, man, he be God. Now, I wonder what that did for Paul's ego. I want you to notice what Paul said in verse 15. Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea and all things that are therein. Now, by the grace of God, Paul recognized this was all vanity. But I wonder how many missionaries and how many preachers of the gospel and how many soul winners have gotten shot down by that. They've gone out and they've sacrificed their lives. They have done something that very few men have done or are willing to do. They've given their lives and all of a sudden they become gods in the men's eyes. If I read this book right, and if Brother Trinity's message was right the other night, and I believe it was, God is not going to use pride. God uses humbleness. And I wonder, maybe some of the problem that we have tonight in our mission endeavors throughout the world and our mission endeavors right here and our soul winning maybe isn't just a little bit of pride. Janice and I celebrated 10 years of marriage on the mission field this last year and we took a little vacation. I know some of you all think the missionaries aren't supposed to do that, but we did it anyway. As you can tell, I don't care what you think, because I wear my combat boots, and I'll wear that hat just to show. I'm not worried about what you think. The Bible says they use plainness of speech. Paul said, I didn't use enticing words. I was plain with you.
Amen.
We traveled to Michigan, and we got to visit some churches. You know, let me just say something. I want to say I appreciate this church.
Amen.
I appreciate the pastors here. I appreciate Brother Lindell. I remember the first time I met the man, I heard him singing when I was up here at the corner coming around Ingram and Callahan. I said, what is all that singing? We got down and I found out what it was. It was Lindell and Eddie and everybody down there singing. But you know what I appreciated about it? I walked in that door and a man shook my hand and he treated me like an equal. That was Pastor Kincaid. I've walked in the churches and I've been member. I was a member of a church that you had to make an appointment to see the preacher. The preacher. Doctor so-and-so. You know, reverend. And these are the same fellows that, you know, preach, don't call no man father. And they're really, you know, they're gung-ho about getting them priests. Really letting them have call no man father. But they call themselves reverend and doctor and master and rabbi. Well, I appreciate that. These people said the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. You know what I appreciate about it? When we had a work day, Brother Kincaid was out there working. Now, I appreciated that. You know what else I appreciated about it? When I was in trouble, a man called me up and said, hey, how you doing? Now, I appreciated that. But I'm afraid of many of our churches and many of our mission endeavors that men have become gods. They put the pulpits way up here, and all y'all are sitting way down there. That's what the Catholic Church does. They differentiate between the clergy and the laity. Well, that'd make a good message. We could preach that, but that's not my message either. And we could talk about turning from vanities unto the living God. I think about 600,000 people every February marching to see the Virgin of Guadalupe. I think about that old man as he walked barefoot and the skin had come off his feet in layer and dragging behind him and the blood coming off his feet. I think about them little old ladies as they walked all that way from Mexico City, from all across the Republic of Mexico, getting there, getting on their knees in that temple and walking on their knees all the rest of the way up to their little goddess. And think about them old knees scraping against that hard floor. I think about the old people and their legs all bandaged up because they can barely walk. That's vanity. That's vanity. That'd be a good message. But I'd like to talk tonight about what Paul said. Sir, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you. What makes a missionary? I know some of you think, you know, they're just different. I know you think that. I know, you know, you think they're just different. Well, maybe in a way we are. But we be a men of like passions. We be men of like passions. And I'd like us to go through some verses here tonight and look at them and consider that we be men of like passions. I think about what Joey was saying, that God has not chosen the rocks to preach. God has not called the angels. I think they could both probably do a much better job than what we do. But God has chosen us. I think about the Psalms. David says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You look at man and he's a tragedy every time you see him. Now why in the world would God choose man to bring the gospel? It boggles my mind. I can't figure it out. Why? God loves men falling to sin.
Right.
I think about King David, you know, when he goes down and fights the giant. Nobody knows about the giant when I go. And I can see old fellow saying, well, you know, we got our tradition, we got our ways, and so you got to put on our type of armor and do it our way and whatever. And David says, I can't do it that way. I just got to be myself. And he goes down to that valley and he takes on a giant. Where other men didn't want to take him on. And he takes off his head with his own sword. And I think, well, yeah, well, I can understand why God would call men. There's a man of God going down there. But just a few chapters over, I found that man up on a rooftop when it's time to do battle, when it's time for kings to go out and battle, I find that man, that same man of God, just a little while ago, I thought, well, yeah, now I can understand why God called men. I saw that man shacking up with a woman that didn't belong to him. And then the crime sin, he murdered a faithful servant.
Right.
I think, why would God call men? That was a man after God's own heart. I think about that. Resisting ridicule. All the mocking. I see Noah out in the world, only one, preaching. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness.
Amen.
And I said about the obeying that reason. Here's a man that stood alone, that did it God's word. And I just turn a few chapters over and he's lying in a drunken stupor. I think, well, why would God call me? I think about Moses, man of God, great power. I think about Moses standing before Pharaoh, the king, and saying, let my people go.
Amen.
And Pharaoh says, I ain't going to do it. He says, well, you better. You better let the people go. What? A miracle. I think about what? Well, yeah, maybe I can understand. I think about Moses. God, I don't know how to sit down anyway. And I come out of generation and a nation out of Moses. And I see Moses contending with God, but God, you don't want to do that. What about your name? What about the promises you made? What about your word?
Amen.
I say to myself, well, with men like that, why not? And just a short time later, I see that same Moses saying, all right, God, why did I let you do that in the first place? And he's so frustrated, he's so angry that he strikes the rock the second time. Now think about Elijah. And here's some heroes, man.
Heroes
of God in us. I think about Elijah. He's out there, 400 prophets of Baal. He said, where's your God? Where's your God? He said, you guys go first. make it all. You guys go first. I'm going to go over here and just wait on you. After a while, he got bored with him. He started making fun of him. He said, maybe if God's asleep, you got to yell a little louder. And then just to put the icing on the cake, I see old Elijah in boldness. He said, I want to show you something. Bring me some water. Now, it ain't rained a long time. This guy's asking for some water. They think, well, maybe he's thirsty. And he takes that water and he pours it over his altar. What boldness. Some of that crowd could have shouted because that water was valuable. And no sooner. Then he takes the heads off them fellas. That's pretty bold. But then a woman said, where's Elijah? How dare he mess with my prophets? And what do we see Elijah doing? Checking out here, fellas. Why would he be afraid of a woman? He just took on 400 prophets.
Right.
Why? We be men of like passions. We be men of like passions. Now, we have a fishing conference. And I talked about fishing. We're fishermen. And I could tell you some fishing stories. Oh, I could tell you some whoppers. I remember the first time I went fishing in Texas. Now, I'm from Michigan. And I never fished on Lake Michigan or Lake Erie. All my fishing was done in little lakes. You know, you have a fishing pole and a line and a bobber. And my daddy taught me when that bobber moves, that means you got a fish down there with you. And when that bobber gets under the water, pull up, be hooked down there and you can bring him in. Now I fished an old cane pole. And it had one of them reel things, and so when I hooked it, I couldn't figure out, well, how am I going to get it up now, you know? So I just run up the shore and the fish would be up there, and I was really happy about that. Well, I came down to Texas, and Terry says, let's go deep sea fishing. And I said, well, that'd be fun, let's do that. So we went down to, I don't know where, Corpus Christi, Port Aransas, went out on one of them deep sea fishing boats. I don't know nothing about this, but I went out there. We got out on that boat and out in that ocean. I couldn't see land anymore, and them waves are going up, and them waves are going down, and they're going up. And I'm getting a little bit woozy. And that guy gets out a fish bigger than I'd ever caught. And I said, what are you doing with that? He said, that's your bait. I said, that's your bait. I said, I ain't never caught a fish that big, but I thought, oh, that's a bait on him, man. And there's about 35 others of us on this boat. And he got them all rigged out there, and there's, about 33 of them all lined up on one side of the boat. And I could tell right away something was wrong. First of all, they didn't give me a bobber. I says, sir, how am I going to know there's a fish on this line? He says, you'll know. I said, okay. And I said to Terry, we got a problem here. We got 33 people at least fishing on this side of the boat. Let's go on the other side. Well, Terry, he's just dumb as I was. I don't know why. He said, yeah, that's a good idea. I said, Terry, we stay on this side of the boat. If anything happens over here, all the lines are going to get tangled up. Let's go over here. There's nobody fishing over there. And so we went on the other side. Boy, I thought, this is great. I got this whole side of the ocean just to myself, me and Terry. Man, them guys didn't want to catch nothing. Man, them fish going over there, they can't even get in because all them lines in the water. I said, we got this whole world. Pretty soon, here comes this big old seaman, big old guy, the captain. He comes down there and he's cussing up a storm. What the, are you guys doing over here? We're fishing. Can't you see? What do you think we're doing over here? We're fishing. I says, I don't want to go over there. I have no minds over there. He says, but you don't have to go over there. Come on, go down and eat the boat. So we got us over on the other side. I says, that just don't make sense to me. You guys down here in Texas fish funny. And no further. Some guy caught a fish. It wasn't no fish, it was a shark. The guy laughed on my feet. Thank goodness it was before John. I really had a fit. But just as I expected, that guy yells, fish on! And everybody reeling like crazy to get their lines in. And sure enough, that fish, he wasn't no dummy. He died up all them lines. I was fortunate. I was the only one that got mine out. And there they are for the rest of their time trying to untangle them lines. What, The love of money is the root of all evil. They ain't going to cut them lines and just give everybody new poles. No, they're spending their time untangling them, you know. Well, I said, all the better, because now I'm all alone. And I threw out there, and now I got the whole ocean to myself now. And all of a sudden, I thought I was trying to stop that, man. And somebody goes, it's gone! Well, I'm pushing that button, it's going faster and slower. I don't know what I was doing. I was just trying to stop that thing. Well, I caught me a fish. And I mean, I got me a fish. Now, I got a picture of it just to prove it, all right? I could tell you some fish stories. Now, it's sad, Willie and I and the rest of us men were talking this morning about some things that goes on in missionary circles. And I thank God that I don't have to come here and tell you some whoppers. I thank God I can stand up here tonight and say we be men of like fashion, men of like passions. And I don't have to pull your leg. I can tell you that we were slapping mosquitoes and we forgot the off. And I dropped my watch in the lake and I couldn't find it. And my pole broke. And the worms, they weren't worth nothing. And I could tell you that and you'd understand that. Right. We'd be men of like passions. Look over in Acts in chapter 3. I want to just look at some verses. Look down at verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I'd like to say, first of all, that as a missionary, we be men of like passions. You think you don't got any silver and gold? Well, we don't either. I know you sit in your house and every month you think, how in the world am I going to pay the bills? Well, missionaries do the same thing. We'd be being of their like passion. I know you sit in your house and you think there's always more month left than money. Amen. It happens every month. Well, missionaries do too. We'd be men of like passions. Let me just say this here, since we're talking plainly tonight. We have the same feelings as you do about money. Now, aren't you embarrassed when you have to go and ask somebody for money? Aren't you embarrassed? I am. Willie was saying, was talking about these missionaries that have to travel around and do deputation. He says they call up these preachers and say, you know, I'd like to come preach. I told Bill, how do they do it? I'd be embarrassed to call some of them and say, you know, I'd like to come preach in your church so I can raise some money and keep on going. I don't understand how they can do it. I'd be embarrassed. Let me tell you something. You know what I've heard? Not only from myself, but I heard from other people. And I don't doubt the sincerity of the people that said it. But I'd just like you to consider what you're saying. They pat you on the back and they said, brother, I thank God that God's using you. And I just want you to know, if there's anything you need, just give me a call. Now, that's said in sincerity, no doubt. And that's said in love. But I want you to think about it. And what does that mean? You know, anything you need, you just let me know and I'll take care of it. Does that mean... You want to buy me a, hey, John, or Jack, or Joe, or Fred, I sure could use a new car. What does that mean? Now you think about it. Now, if you really mean that, why don't you slap him $100? Just give him $100. I don't know a missionary here that couldn't use $100 any day of the week. Now if you really mean anything, why don't you just buy a new car? Amen. If you really mean that. But think about it when you say that. Because they're not going to call you on it. They'd be too embarrassed. We'd be men of like passion when it concerns finances. We got bills to pay. We think about retirement. We think about our children's schooling. How are they going to go to college? We think about those things. We'd be men of like passions. Look over in Acts in chapter 9. Hear my Lord, send me. Isn't that the missionary call? Isn't that what Isaiah said? Hear my Lord, send me. Well, here's a man that said the same thing. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus, at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, here's the call, Ananias, the Lord's calling.
And he said, whatever you want, here am I. Lord, do whatever you want me to do, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, I'm going to have the faith. I got the missionary card. I'm ready to do it. I'm willing to do it. I'm going to do it. Around the street, which is called, even the street, I'm willing to go. And the time you have to do this, yes, for one called Saul
of Tarsus,
for behold, he prays. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, I'm going.
No. Let's read that again.
Lord, wait a minute. I have heard about thee, worthless man, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name.
Now, isn't that just like you and me?
That's right. Amen.
We be men of like passions. I mean, we sing good. Amen, Brother Jim? We sing good.
Here am I, with the rival songs, I'm willing, you know. So from God, you said, that's me.
Until all of a sudden, one day, the Lord says, you. I want you to go. That's like all these guys. Yeah, I believe in the strong army. You know, I believe in the Marines. I believe in him. I believe in him.
Until the recruiter knocks on his door and says, yeah, you.
We be men of like passions. We've got great desires. We want to do something for God.
Amen.
And we're bold in our talk. But sometimes we, when the Lord says, all right, this is what I want you to do, we say, wait a minute, Lord, we gotta talk this over. You meant that for Bill. You didn't mean that for me. That's somebody else's job. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority of the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go about it, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way.
Ha. This is a sincere person, Ananias. He really wanted to do the will of the Lord. It was his desire. That's what he wanted to do. And the Lord called him. He was willing to do it. He had some reservations about it. You talk to any missionary tonight, they had some reservations about doing it. But they went anyway.
Amen.
We be men of like passions. Look over in Acts chapter 13. And thinking about that, I think about old Jeremiah. Where a brother stood up and read some things about Jeremiah this morning. And I appreciate it. I think about old Jeremiah. He said, but Lord, I'm a child. I can't speak to these people. Hey, I've experienced that. Literally. I'm down there struggling with Spanish. And here I'm trying to convince these people with the gospel and the word of God and convince them what they're saying. And they're correcting me on a word I said 10 minutes ago. That's not the bad. I don't want to be bad on you about a word I said wrong 10 minutes ago. You know, whether it was Pueblo or whatever. I don't, you know, whether it was Folk. I don't know what's going on half the time. I'm just trying to convince you that God that Jesus died on the cross for you. I don't want to be arguing about whether I said I'm going to be preaching over there underneath the light or over there underneath the seal. I don't want to be arguing about that, you know. I can understand Jeremiah because we'd be men of like passion. You feel like a fool sometimes standing down there preaching a language you don't understand. Look over here in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. And when Paul was coming loose from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now you read this chapter, and a little while ago they took John with them. And they ran into a bar of Jesus, and they ran into some difficulties. And all of a sudden we find John said, that's enough for me, boys, I'm going home. I don't know why. It doesn't say why John went home. Maybe he just got homesick. Maybe he just missed mama. Maybe he missed his friends. Maybe he just felt like he'd like to go back to work. I don't know. Doesn't say. But we be men of like passions. Sometimes we just feel like going home. Why mother? You know, that really hit home to me this time as I went home to Michigan. My lost mother sitting at the table, my lost father, my lost family saying to me, hey, what do you want to go to them heathen down there for when we could use you right here? That makes you say, well, you know, Bill, you can have my stuff. I'm going to camp out up here. You know, and the first time they go into church in 20 years, you know, and the preacher stands up there and says, you know, we got a bunch of dying churches here in the States. We need some good men, you know. And you go home to mama, and mama says, you know, we could use you right here. Huh? That works on you. We be men of like passions. And you stand down there, and them guys are throwing bottles at you and rocks and threatening you with death and throwing dead animals on you and writing all derogatory things in the newspapers about you and telling you to go home every time you go out there, sometimes you just think about it, I think I might. Now, I don't blame John Mark for going home. I think I can understand him. We'd be men of like passions. You know, why knock on all these doors? They're not going to listen anyway. I know some of your soul spiritually. You think that never happens. Huh? There have been many a days when I was walking out there to go preach. I thought, why? I didn't just think it. I said, well, why are we doing this? This is stupid. You know you're going to be able to start picking your rocks at us again. Maybe John Mark just had, you know, the fear of buyer Jesus put into him. I don't know. Somebody, the brother said this morning in the prayer meeting, he says, I don't know how you guys do it, suffer all this persecution. Just don't know how you do it. I don't know how we do it either, brother. Except it for me by the grace of God. I think about that time we were out there preaching and this man comes up and he starts taking pictures. And I thought, now why in the world is he taking pictures? And I get done preaching and I go over to him. He already got these big old speakers out there to try to drown out the preaching. And I go over to him and we'd already had difficulties with this man, but I didn't know it was him because it was dark. It was night. I couldn't see his face. I didn't know who it was. And we go to new streets all the time. And I go over there and I said, sir, do you have any questions? And he turned around and he says, your mother's a da-da-da-da-da-da and a few other things. And I recognized who it was. Here's a man, said he was a Christian. Said, well, he said he's a devout Catholic. Said he was a supposed believer in God and follower of the true religion. And using words that, and I thought, sir, you're a hypocrite. And I told him right to his face, I said, you're a hypocrite. And I walked away. That didn't go over too well. And he come flying out of there and he let loose I guess he thought he was Muhammad Ali because he was just a whooping on me. Now fortunately I had my big old sweater on and I could absorb all them punches. Now, you know, by the grace of God, I had no desire to defend myself when that happened. I had no desire. But you know what happened afterwards? I thought, I'm going to go get me a big stick and I'm going to go back there and I'm going to whack that guy. Huh? By the grace of God, you know, we endure these things. But you know, you got to go home and go to sleep at night. And you got all sorts of visions coming, you know. You think, well, you know, I wonder what that guy would have done if I had a 45 in my boot and pulled it out and stuck it right in his nose and said, fella, we're going to stop this right now. I know that never happens to you and you never think them thoughts. But brother, we be men of like passions. Huh? As somebody quoted Brother Chinny, well, brother, what are we doing in this situation? We turn the other cheek and come back tonight and whoop up on them. I was very bold when that happened. And Bill and Joe and Mike and the things they suffered, they're very bold when these things happen. But you know, you go home that night and you wake up and you say, you know, I got to do this again. Well, maybe I don't want to do this again. When you're out there suffering, you know, by the grace of God, I don't know, the Spirit of God comes upon you. I don't know what happens, but somehow you just get through without doing something wrong. It's happened in every instance. Somehow you just get through it. But boy, when you go home that night, you think, boy, I could have done this and this and this, and boy, we can do this and this the next time. And, yeah. Huh? Sometimes you just want to give up and go home. Now, you sitting right here, you've gone out and knock on doors, and sometimes you want to give up too, don't you? Now, why don't we just, you know, let's just break down all these, you know, hypocritical walls and just be honest with ourselves. Okay? You're not God's. I know that, you know, it's very stroking, you know. Really makes you feel good when people say, ye be God's. I mean, there's a soul winner. I know that makes you feel good, but we be men of like passions. Look over in Acts chapter 15. In verse 36, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how to do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, that's the fellow that went home, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the world. And the contention was so sharp between them that they parted asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul was recommended by the brethren of the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, confirming the churches. Now, I know you think that missionaries never have a fight. I know you think that. And I know you think that missionaries and their wives never have a fight. Boy, are you deceived. we'd be men of like passions. Now, I know that you fight. I know you and your wife have arguments. I know. I was pastor here for a while. Ding, 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 ding. What tales he could tell. Contention. Now, we do have an advantage that the neighbors don't have any inkling of what's going on. Because it's all in English. What do you mean, you're not going to cook me supper? I'm not going to cook you supper because you want soup again, you know? Of course, the neighbors, they don't know what's going on. You know, they just think, oh, them crazy Christians, those are singing again. The contention was so sharp that two good men, two men that had worked together, said, hey, we can't do it anymore. Now I'm going to tell off on Bill and I, because we're talking plain tonight, and we're letting you know we be men of like passions. All right? Bill and I worked together for a year, and I love that man. I love all four men I work with and their families. I appreciate them. I can't think of anybody else in the whole wide world that I'd rather work with than the four men I work with. Sorry about that, Brother Lindo. I appreciate you. But, you know, you are getting old. And we go out and preach in the streets, and after we get done preaching, we talk to the people that were interested, and we try to get Bible studies. And this particular night, we had a Bible study, an appointment at, I don't even know what time. I don't remember, 7 o'clock, let's say. And we're preaching out, say, at 6 o'clock, and, we preach street after street after street, and, you know, nobody's listening to us. And I finally get a contact. Somebody has some questions. And I'm over there dealing with them. And they're listening. And I don't want to give them up, man. I've got that bobber just a moving. I said, oh, any time now, that bobber's going to go underwater and I'm going to get me a fish. And I'm dealing with it and I'm thinking, you know, this is great. And Bill's over there thinking, well, I got nobody to talk to and we got an appointment at 7 o'clock. Brent, would you hurry up? He said, Brent, it's time to go. Let's go. And I'm still dealing with him, ignoring him. A few seconds later, Brent, it's time to go. Let's go. I'm still dealing with them. Come on, we got an appointment. Brent, let's go right now. And I finish it up, and I walked over there right in the middle of the street and said, don't you do a lot of dealing with somebody. Now, I know that never happens to you. I know that when you're on the job, something goes wrong, that you know, you just say, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. I know there's never any contention on the job or in the family. And we just had a good out shout. Now, I don't know what all them people thought. You know, what are them guys trying to do now, you know? Because it was all in English. They're just out there, you know. Boy, these guys are weird. Sometimes we have squabbles. Sometimes we have contentions. And sometimes it's very sharp. And sometimes it's likely to divide. Now, the grace of God, it hasn't yet. I know, hope it never does. But, brethren, we're just trying to be honest with you that we be men of like passions. We're not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes here tonight. We just want you to know that we be men and women, and we're capable of falling. We're capable of anything that goes on. I mean, if a man of God, after his own heart, if he falls into great sin, we're capable of that also. We be men of like passions. I think about what was preached here the other night, old Peter. Jesus tells him, you know, this is what I have for you. You know, he ought to have been happy with that. You know, God's telling me what's going to happen in my life, and he's given me a prophecy, and he's given some things. And you know what Peter said? Well, what about him over there? We be men of like passions. You know, well, what about, how come that missionary over there, he gets everything? How come everything goes so well for him? We be men of like passion. I think about Jesus telling the disciples, all right, you stay right here and pray, watch and pray. I'm going yonder to pray. And he comes back, and they're asleep. I know, you never fall asleep when you're praying. I know. Hey, come on, folks. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Don't deceive yourself. I think about Peter standing up. I'll never deny you. These guys might, but not me. I'll never deny you. And it wasn't just a short while later, Peter denied the Lord. Brother, we can go on and on and on. We can show what Peter did, some great things that he did. We could show what Paul and some of the great things that he did. We can go through all from the beginning all the way to the end and show what these men, great things they did. And almost every time you find the great failures also. You know why? Because they were just men. They were just men.
And brethren, what we are in Mexico, and what we are in Korea, and what we are in Brazil, and what we are in Puerto Rico, and what we are in San Antonio, Texas, and what we are throughout all this world, we are just men.
Amen.
That God has called and said, go for me. I close with this. It's one of my favorite stories. I think about Peter and the disciples on the boat. I think about the storm coming up. And I think about Jesus walking on the water. And the disciples said, it's a ghost. I don't know what it is. And he said, be not afraid. It is I. And Peter says, well, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. And Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to walk to Jesus. But what happened? He saw that the wind was boisterous and the waves. And he fell. Peter fell. He didn't make it to Jesus. He said he was going to do something, and he didn't accomplish it. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he fell. And we could preach all night on that tonight. I mean, we could really, really rip and snort, and we could bring that home to you tonight, why you're taking your eyes off the Lord, and why I take my eyes off the Lord, and why we would ever in the world doubt the Lord. You know, I think about the other time when Jesus was in the boat, and the disciples of all things accused Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? Of all the things to accuse the Lord of not caring?
Amen.
Of not caring? But you know, I think about Peter. You know what he did? He got out of the boat. Because there them, what were them other 11 guys doing?
Amen.
They're sitting back in the boat. Huh? Now you guys are spectators in one sense, watching our lives, because we live in glass houses. But you know what, folks? We got out of the boat. Now, we may think, as I read this Bible, I've never read anybody that you know, got all the way out there to Jesus. I read about one man that got out of the boat, and he went a little way and then sunk. What am I tonight? What are these other missionaries tonight? They're men that said, I will leave the comforts of the boat in an effort to go to Jesus. We be men of like passion. I'd like you to consider that. During this mission conference, I'd like you to consider that in the weeks to come during your prayer meetings and during your prayer times, that we be men just like you. We're capable of falling. We're capable of failing. That our desire is to serve the Lord. We don't want to fall. Peter had no desire of falling and sinking. David had no plan on falling into that great sin. None of these men had these plans. Their desire was to do right. We just be fragile men. What is man that thou art mindful of?